you're tensing your muscles more and more because you just want to get there and finally have that orange juice. You're just literally squeezing it out of your body.
Yeah.
And it's this joyless, this just, it's nothing. That experience has nothing to do with pleasure, happiness, joy, ease, fun. And when you have an orgasm, to me, that's a coming together of two beings. Now, that doesn't have to be two individuals. It can be you and an emotion. It can be that you have an orgasmic emotion with abundance. You have an orgasmic emotion with a piece of art or a piece of music. It's the sense that you love someone or something so much. You devote yourself to something. You give yourself to something so much that you just ease into each other and it's just gorgeous, beautiful. Now I miss it.
Welcome back. We are on today for another episode on the 12 for Dish It podcast. I'm Angie Sorensen, your host for the day. Actually, every single time. I don't know why I just said for the day. But you can come and find me on my Linktree, which is linktree.com/12fordishit. Or you can also go to my website at angie-s.com. I've put both of those links in the show notes. Now, those are the places to go if you want to be involved with what I do, be part of my community, and just get, you know, a bit more direct access to me. If you haven't yet, please give a 5-star review, share the podcast, subscribe to it. You know, you can do all of that on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever it is that you listen from, whichever way you can follow or rate it or review it, basically how you show love. Please just do it. It's absolutely free for you to do, and it really helps this podcast. Because the more you rate and review it, well, the more actually Apple Podcasts will start putting it in front of more eyeballs and actually more ears. So yeah, it's just, you know, you're helping your girlfriend out. So today we're back on one of my favorite topic to talk about, sex. So just because it's fun, it's light, and we need a bit more of that. And in today's episode, I talk with Alex Mill on all things from squirting to not being able to fall asleep next to your boyfriend. Just a heads up, Alex's neighbor decided to do some handiwork mid-interview, and her flatmate also walked into the room and made some background noises. Not for too long, okay, rest assured, not for too long. And I did do my best to reduce all those noises, but when it happens at the same time as when she talks, it's just impossible to remove those background noises. So, but again, they don't last for too long. I just wanted to give you a heads up so you know what's going on. Now, unless you weren't already aware, this episode does contain graphic sexual depiction, so discretion is advised. Again, I'm not sure I need to be saying this when it's around sex, because obviously this podcast is one of the themes is sex, but I just want to let you know, because today we do go a little bit more graphic, I think. So without further ado, let's begin.
Hey, Alex, welcome to the show.
Hello, gorgeous. I'm so excited about this.
Oh, I love this kind of like greeting. I need you every morning. That's my alarm clock from now on. thank you so much for joining. I'm very excited. I know I say this for like most of my guests, but I am like, I only get people on that I'm really excited about. It takes me a long time to find people. I don't think people realize this, but it takes me like literally like weeks on end to find the right person through everyone. So yeah. I am genuinely really excited to have you on the podcast, and we're going to talk about sex, pleasure, orgasm, and probably other things that I could not have planned to, because going by our last conversation, so you know, either way, like your insights are like, you know, they're very wise beyond your years. I don't know if we like to talk age or not. I'm 42, you're younger than me, so I don't know if you want to.
I'm 29. You know, I'm not fuzzed about my age. Yeah, exactly. I feel a lot older than my age.
You definitely are like in your wisdom. So if anyone's like, oh my God, 29, like we all, you know, a lot of my listeners are like over 40, like from 35 plus, you know, and past 50. So you can definitely listen to her. Like I'm learning tons from her. So don't be, you know, put off by the age. And you definitely have some sort of path. And I definitely want to see how it evolves for you. You are definitely ahead of most people within the industry of like sex, orgasm, tantra, like you're way beyond all of that. So even with the cutting edge individuals, I feel that you are already ahead of them. So that's my perception. I may be wrong with us, but that's how I feel. That's what I, you know, a lot of things that we talked about last time, you know, was very, I just really loved it. And I just really want to share you with my listeners. So before we dive in, please introduce yourself, where you live and what you do.
Gorgeous. Well, first of all, that was an amazing intro. I love that.
I'm your alarm clock from now on. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm Alex Mill, and I work as a mindful intimacy catalyst. It's a totally made up title because I'm not a coach. I don't do coaching. I'm not certified. I do a very intuitive kind of business. I have a 10-year background in filmmaking and advertising. So what I'm currently doing is a very story-based client work. And my history with the sexual energy itself is that I started very, very early. I had my first orgasmic experience when I was 5 years old. And there were no adults involved. There were no other kids involved. It was just me experiencing, exploring, experimenting. And by now, I have a 25-year relationship with the orgasmic energy itself. So it started showing me things that you don't show to people on the first date. You know, we started to have this proper conversation about transcendental sexual experiences. Mm-hmm. Now, every other area of my life had some shit in it. I did my fair share of dumbfuckery. I went through all sorts of addictions. I had mental health issues. I was dealing with depression for 20 years, debilitating anxiety for 25 years. And I was just looking. I was just searching for the point, the purpose, the meaning. And when I turned to spirituality, mainstream spirituality, back in 2018, then I realized that even within spiritual circles, it's either Tantra, which I never resonated with for some reason, or sit still in silence. You are not your body. Transcend your body and leave it and drop it and boom. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't feel like doing any of those things. I dance. I flap my hands around. I move all the fucking time. I sing. I cannot just sit in peace. I mean, it's nice. I love silence. Don't get me wrong, but fuck me. I just want to move this body and use it.
Yeah.
So I kind of carved out my own niche, and now I'm merging very, very heavy, hardcore science, spirituality, and sexuality. And I found something that I definitely want to take back to the film industry and clean up the very dark sexual energies in the film industry. But besides that, right now I'm super excited in absolute transcendental sexual experiences. The other thing that I've found with others who are working in sexuality is that usually they are coming from an abused background. They have some form of sexual or physical abuse.
You mean the other people who are like leading the movement in sexuality? Like
exactly.
Yeah.
Whoever's professionally in sexuality, they are like, I've been abused. This is how I healed myself. This is how I can heal you. Mm-hmm. I'm coming from the background of I've had pleasure. I've had more pleasure. I've had absolutely transcendental pleasure. So we're quite different on that ground. So I'm resonating with a very different audience.
Yeah. And I think both have its place, because I think it's great to watch people who have, you know, been victims of like, you know, sexual abuse as children, to then become, you know, like Leila Martin, that's her story, you know, she's open about it. So I'm not calling her out on anything. She was sexually abused by her father. That's, you know, that is the story where she comes from. And that's what she put, you know, she says that publicly. So I'm not divulging any secrets. I've mentioned her before on the show. And it's great to see someone who owns her sexuality and you know, help other people. And I think it's important to have those sort of things, you know, modeled for those who have experienced that. But it's also refreshing as well to have someone who doesn't come from that side. And, you know, and so you don't have to go in and deal with all the abuse and stuff. Like, you know, you can actually, you're coming from a different point of view. So can you just quickly sort of like circle back with what you do? When people come to you, is it like couples that come in and you help them how to retell their story to gain more intimacy and thereby better sexual pleasure with each other?
Well, first of all, when people come to me with sexual issues and we start talking to each other, we realize very, very soon, either individuals or couples, that your sexual issues are emotional issues. It's mm-hmm. always the case. So your story is your emotional identity, who you identify with. If you feel like you're a failure, if you think that you cannot get love without pain.
Or if you feel like shame and guilt exactly. from your parents yeah. and stuff as well.
Yeah, exactly. Then that's what you're going to play out, and you are going to defend your identity. You're going to do everything in your power to be like, this is who I am. This is what I'm worth. This is what I believe of myself. I cannot achieve anything more than that. So I will sabotage any other thing that could be potentially beneficial for me, because it's just not familiar. If your body has the memory of abuse, pain, fear, anger, shame, then that's what's familiar, and everything unfamiliar registers as a threat.
Mm. Is it why when you don't get some for a long time and you don't touch yourself for a while, you kind of you're not horny anymore? Like, you know, like your libido kind of dries out because it's almost becoming unfamiliar. And maybe if you have, I don't know, I guess everyone's different, but like, you know, when you go through dry spells and then yeah. you don't realize how good it was until like, you meet someone who gets your juices flowing, or exactly. you watch something and all of a sudden it gets your juices flowing, or you hear something, you go, oh my God. Is that part of like your body going, is that part of maybe like the familiarity, or is that something different?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, right now, just when you ask the question, right now I'm realizing that I'm, compared to my average, right now I'm on a dry spell. Like, I haven't had an orgasm maybe in a week. For me, that's a very long time. Honestly.
Oh, boo-hoo.
But honestly, and I'm not doing it, you know, by now, this is just my reality that I can have energetic orgasms without touch, without anything, at will. So, and it's not just sexual orgasmic experiences. It's hardgasms, mindgasms, when you just...
We got to get into those. We got to get into those. Yes. So people can understand, because otherwise people are going to be like, what is she talking about? We're definitely going to go into those. So I don't want to give away too much. Do you mind if we... I still want to take it back and then we're going to build yeah. up to that, because otherwise, yeah. you know... So, okay, so I'm actually... You know, I never say this on the show, but I'm actually going to read out the headline that I have for your outline, like for this segment, which is okay. orgasm versus coming, aka jouir, because I'm French speaker and I grew up French speaker, so jouir is coming is what I think is good. So can we clarify, or can you, I mean, I say we, you, can you clarify what an orgasm is, so that we go on the same kind of premise for this program? Because I feel that many believe that coming is orgasming, and that's not how I define it. Like, to me, yeah. coming is explosive, what we call, like in tantra, called explosive, which is like the clitoral orgasm. It's like a release. It's like an out. It's very quick. It's kind of a little bit unsatisfying, like it's satisfying, but once you've had the other, it's quite dissatisfying.
Yeah.
And so unless I'm missing something deeper with clitoral stimulation, that maybe I'm doing it wrong, I don't know. But to me, orgasms are implosive. Is that, for example, like that wave taking over your body? But I'm sure there are many different types, and I have not experienced yet, definitely. And I'm sure it's, you know, it's very personal to each individual how they would describe that delectable feeling. But so that would be my two cents. But how do you, when you say I haven't had an orgasm for a week, like what is an orgasm to you? What does it mean?
So I would describe, even with touch, without touch, I would describe the difference with tension.
Between touch and not touch, or between orgasm and coming?
Between orgasm and coming. By the way, I've learned the two words from you. It's like, I love that the French have two words for it. I fucking love it. So good.
You're welcome.
And now it's in my vocabulary. Yeah. So for me, it's tension. That is exactly that. Is it a release? Because you've built up so much tension. And even if you're masturbating, there's a difference between you're tensing your muscles more and more because you just want to get there and finally have that orange. You're just literally squeezing it out of your body.
Yeah.
And it's this joyless, this just, It's nothing. That experience has nothing to do with pleasure, happiness, joy, ease, fun. And when you have an orgasm, to me, that's a coming together of two beings. Now, that doesn't have to be two individuals. It can be you and an emotion. It can be that you have an orgasmic emotion with abundance. You have an orgasmic emotion with a piece of art or a piece of music. It's the sense that you love someone or something so much. You devote yourself to something. You give yourself to something so much that you just ease into each other and it's just gorgeous, beautiful. Now I miss it.
You're still going to have an orgasm after the recording, right? You're going to be like, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's so, but because the way you say it is so beautiful and almost like a bit beyond what I can understand, if that makes sense. It's almost like, it's so elevated that I'm like, okay, I'm like, I think I know what you mean, but at the same time, I'm like, I just want it. Like, if you were to like take it down a notch intellectually, like, what do you feel as a human body when you have the orgasm? Like, how do you know the difference for you?
Exactly. Even with masturbation, even with clitoral stimulation, or, you know, I'm not in a male body in this case, but even with just jerking off, if you just listen to your body when you're getting closer and closer to an orgasm, are you tensing your pelvic muscles? Are you tensing your shoulders? Do you have any tension in your face? Are you making any faces? Are you like, just get me closer to it? I have too many things on my mind. I cannot release it. I want to get all this shit out of my head. Just give me that fucking orgasm.
Yeah.
That's the more and more tension in your body. While you can have, and it naturally comes with a bit of a slower pace. You slow down, you take your time a bit more, you start listening to your body. Maybe it's not just your genitals that are feeling something. Maybe your shoulders, hands, arms, your belly, your face want to be touched, want to be caressed, needs a bit of an attention from you. Maybe you want to light a candle, have some scents, actually set the room so you feel comfortable in the room so that you don't just focus on your mind. You would actually notice what's around you, that you feel good in your life right now. You are in a good position. You are in a good place. You don't feel like you have to hide. You don't feel like that you're doing something shameful, that you're just wanking under the shower. But you have this experience that you are giving time for yourself and your pleasure right now. And it's an enjoyable event. It's like a festival that you just attended and prepared for and talk about it after. It's an event in your life. And obviously that's too much time. You don't have to do it each and every time. It gets quicker and quicker every time. For me, the biggest difference is literally muscle tension. Yeah. Do you just want to get over it, or are you actually enjoying having that experience?
You know, I love that you mentioned the tension, because I feel that this is like something that's very misunderstood. I feel, I'm going to say in the West, I haven't been in every country in the West, and I certainly have not fucked my way through the West, so I don't know. But, but like, I feel like there's this misconception for both men and women, to be quite honest. But like, as a woman, when I'm with a man, I can sense that, you know, they feel that, oh, they think that, oh, if your pussy is tight, they think this is great. You know, it's almost like the tighter it is, the better it is. And I'm just like, there's a difference between tightness and being toned down there. So, which I know that's a whole different episode, but like, you know, this is why, like, you know, I'm always like telling women, you know, Kegel exercise, do it right. You know, I love the JDEG exercise, this kind of stuff, you know, just to get more sensation. It's about toning yourself. So you build, you know, so you prevent incontinence, that kind of stuff, which is again, another episode. But the difference between being toned and being tight. And to me, it's like, it's as important to be able to relax as it is to be able to feel a man inside of you, or him to feel you. Sometimes, because there is that pressure, they go, oh, that's tight, it's got, or whatever, they, in their mind, what they're looking for. It's like, give the woman a minute, and also for women, we need to give ourselves a minute to be able to relax, because I find that that's when you relax, first of all, it's so much more pleasurable. Like any little movement is like extra sensations. Yeah. Whereas if I'm tight, it's like, you know, like sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's a fun sensation. You sometimes just want to like really go at it. But most of the time it's like, the more relaxed you are, the better it becomes. And also it's just a question of trust, right? He has to trust that because you're relaxed doesn't mean that you're not into it. Like he has, the more a woman is in pleasure, the more her vagina, like her pussy will open, you know, the more it will open up and relax. That's what's going to really climax more. And I feel there's this missing link. And there's an ego thing now, you know, with the men, they're like, or with women too, like, you know, it has to be tight. It's like, no, it can be turned, but you need to chill. And that's the hard bit, is how to relax it, because there is this chase for the orgasm. And you can see as well how people masturbate, how I masturbate, how men masturbate. Yeah. It's like quick. And we have these bad habits that we've done. I mean, I used to masturbate too as a child. I'm going to ask you about that orgasm at 5. But I used to come as a child. Like, you know, I would touch myself. Again, no adults involved. I remember all it took was those, you know, we used to get La Redoute magazine, which is like a buy at home stuff. Like they'll send you the magazine and buy clothes and the underwear stuff. And I used to like, that was my arousal, I remember. But it's like, so, you know, children are sexual beings, just like all people are too, you know? So, but we gain these bad habits. And I think that then reflects when we have sex with someone, because it's like, quick, before, it's almost like before you lose it. And because you have that pressure, well, guess what? I lose it. You know, that's why a lot of us find it easier to climax without a partner, because we don't have to, we have a little mind scenario. We don't have to rush ourselves, although often we do rush ourselves. But you know what I'm saying? It's like there's this language that's missing. And I'm glad you brought up this tension, because we shouldn't always have to go for the tightness. It's uncomfortable too.
Yeah, I mean, simple little thing, and it works for males and females. Males have a very great response to this, that just try it, that get very wet or use lubricants should you need it, and just try the lightest touch, just barely even touching your clitoris, barely even stroking the penis.
Yeah.
And feel that sensation. For me, it's my toes and the sole of my feet. It starts tingling. You can start feeling shivering all across your body, so that it's not just focused on your genital area.
Yes.
You're not stroking, getting closer, but you're just like, oh, if I touch it like this, it feels like that. If I touch it like that, it feels like this. There's playfulness to it.
Yeah.
And males absolutely love it. I mean, they're like, wow, I've got tingly hands. What is this?
I think like for a man, it's often so new, because, you know, I understand it's kind of how they're conditioned, how we're conditioned, you know, to go straight for the genitals, especially for them. It's a bit, they have a bit of a direct route to that. But effectively, you know, if you have a guy, like definitely like, explore the different areas of his body, you know, done. And especially men as well, when they go to women, it can be really annoying sometimes when they go straight for the genitals. And you're like, have the whole body, like literally you get so much further, much faster, if you actually just stroke my body. And now, not all women want that. I'm not, you know, I can't assume that all women want that. But sometimes just to play around, talk to her, whisper in her ear. If she asks you how, you know, to call her something particular, fucking do it. Just do it already. Like, you know, just try it out. Try it out. And it's like, because it's a destination. It really is. And I think that destination, maybe part of why it feels like a destination is because it's that surrendering. Is that what you were explaining before about the orgasm and, you know,
being
in love with whatever it is, the place, the person, the room, the situation, the art, the music. That's why people love music too sometimes for sex, you know. Music can be very arousing.
It's branded as orgasmic meditation, and the branded version of it just have too many rules because of consent and all that business. But the idea behind it is that
is it all meditation
just, yeah that yes, you yes. just you just give your partner pleasure without wanting to have an orgasm. You are just exploring someone's genitals, someone's body, and you don't expect for her to come. You as a male partner or as a supporting partner, you don't expect anything from your partner, and it's not about your pleasure. You are pleasuring your partner just by pure touch. And it can be a very emotional experience, you know, just the pure fact that somebody loves your body without wanting to squeeze an orgasm out of it.
But someone really seeing you and really being there for you and having no expectation, because that's all, again, that's another, like, that's like the midnight express to orgasm. If that person does not care if you orgasm, like, no, they don't care, but they don't put the pressure that you have to come or have an orgasm for their ego to be okay. Like, if they can, and it's really difficult, I get it. So I can't imagine myself, you know, pleasuring my guy and then him not coming. I'd have an issue too. Like, it's not an easy, like, it's really easy to say no expectations, but effectively that's what I'm saying. Do not expect me to come and I will have a much better time. But it's not easy. And I think, yeah, it's that receiving and giving thing, isn't it? It's like just being present. And yeah, I mean, it's wonderful if someone can do that for you. Like, it's fantastic.
I think when you have an agreement that you call it a massage or a meditation, then it takes out that expectation that it's about sex. No, it's about touch. And how does that touch feel? And then you don't have that rule, the underlying rule that, well, the end game is an orgasm. Mm-hmm. So that you would just have a meditative experience. You would just give someone a massage, or you would receive a massage. That's a little bit less pressure, I guess.
And it's a bit like this if you go on a date with someone, right? If you go on a date with someone and you're just there to explore and go, I'm just going to have coffee with someone. If I always go in the mind of like, I'm just going to meet someone new, maybe a friend, possibly not, but I'm just going to go and have a conversation with someone. And then, you know, it could evolve or it could not evolve, and that's fine. But if I was to come on the date going, I need a husband and I need him to impregnate me like yesterday, like I'll have this like desperate needy vibe, and he's going to feel it and it's going to be off-putting. And I also am going to be blinded to who I'm with, because I'm so caught up in my timeline and expectations. It's not enjoyable anymore. And that's the thing. Like, but if you release expectations, the likelihood of you, maybe if you guys get on to date, is higher. And all of a sudden, you know, who knows? Maybe you're off traveling the world in a year's time, and then you decide not to have kids, or you decide to have kids, whatever it is, but you're in the flow. And I think that's the thing, is that releasing of expectation, if you can look at it that way when you have sex with someone, it, don't think about it. It's a bonus if it does. It's great. But it doesn't mean you don't enjoy it. Right? Like, if you don't have an orgasm, it doesn't mean you don't enjoy. I mean, you probably have them every time. But for me, if I don't have an orgasm or climax, doesn't mean I haven't enjoyed it. If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be there. I'd have ended it, you know, I'd have ended the session. But it's like, you know, you can still, there's pleasure to be gained on that journey, even if you don't get to that coveted or to that destination, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. It's about presence. That, are you being present with yourself? Are you being present with your partner? Are you actually seeing them for who they are? They might not be in a happy mood. They might not be in a good mood. They might be really sad or angry, and they just need someone to touch or just be intimate with or just be comfortable around. But when you have expectations or fears, you're either living out your past or you're either trying to live into your future. You're fantasizing about something that hasn't happened, or you're reminiscing about something that has happened, and you don't even look at the person who's in front of you, even if it's just you by yourself. How are you feeling right now? Are you okay? You don't have to be okay. If you're not okay, you can cry in the middle of an orgasm. It's still a release. Yeah. You know, just be there with what is right now.
I have cried during sex before.
Yeah, obviously.
For different reasons, but... Can we go into this, like, libido issues, you know, like how, because obviously I know obviously libidos, you know, they're obviously very much affected by hormones as well. Sometimes you can't, you know, like you're just really horny, like, out of, you know, like your hormones have obviously a big role into that. how someone makes you feel as well. But I'm talking for, like, let's say if you do want to have a higher libido, you want to, or you want to go back to how, you know, you have, like, you're a teenager and 20, you just, like, you know, touching yourself four times a day, it's like, couldn't stop it. You know, if people are listening and they're like, you know, my libido's gone down, you know, because, you know, I know you mentioned about, you know, you have to feel good in your life and stuff, but sometimes life gets in the way, you may get stressed, and sometimes you may not have such a great libido. Is there, like, how would you, but if someone really wants to have the libido back, where would they start? What would you tell, what would you advise them?
In my personal and professional experience, the sad truth that nobody wants to hear is that it's emotional. If you lose your willingness to penetrate the world, to fuck the world, or to be penetrated by the world, it's an emotional closeness.
Can you explain this? Because I it made me laugh. I kind of liked it when you said that, like, fuck the world. What do you mean by that? What do you, like, in other terms, like the gregariousness of, like, going for it in life and receiving life? Like, what do you mean?
Like, have you ever had one of those days when just everything is so smooth? You're on top of the world. You just completed all your tasks. You have amazing conversations, just everything is just flowing, one thing after another, or you just had a very good meal or a very good experience, and you come out at that day at the end of it and you just think back and you're like, for the whole day I felt so fuckable. It was just everything just went so fucking brilliant today. And those feelings, like that drive, that passion, that desire that you feel, that can be easily transformed into a sexual desire. How? Now, when you don't have, well, for me, it's through love. I'm a softie. If I love something, then I love it with my entire body. I love it with my senses, with everything that I got. I devote myself to something. It can be a job, a person, whatever. And for me, it's a sexual thing because I've treated this body emotionally enough so that I don't have body image issues anymore. I wasn't always like this. You know, I had my fair share of shit. But until I think that I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm not good enough, nobody likes me, I'm not wet, I'm too tight, I'm too this, I'm too that, nobody wants to blah, 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 then my body does not want to open up. It feels ashamed. It feels like a child who's just been scolded. And you can smile, but your body doesn't feel good. So touch might actually feel like, whether you're male or female, touch actually might feel like an insult or an attack, that you are so ashamed of your body that you don't want to show it to anybody. You don't want to be naked in front of someone. You don't want to be touched because you are criticizing your own body so much that it's a shameful experience to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Now, when you have just passion, when you have joy, when you have success, then that so much contradicts shame. You cannot be shameful and joyful at the same time. They can follow each other very rapidly, but at the same time, they are just canceling each other out. So when your body feels joyful, it's so much easier to then turn that into sexual desire. If your head is joyful, if your heart is joyful, then your genitals can so easily be joyful.
I love everything that you said. Is it like, I was kind of like giggling inside of my head when you were saying about, you know, when you've had like, you know, purely business, like if you had like an amazing day, like everything, you know, whether it is how you measure success in your business. And I was picturing like, what, so you've had a good day, let's say if I had like a good day podcasting and everything was flowing, I'd be like, fucking myself over like, oh, how a great day I did with podcasts. Like, is this like coming on like my own achievements? Is that like, and I go down my to-do list, oh my god, you did this and you did that, that's amazing.
it's that sense of like, just imagine the old-fashioned way, just imagine a very old-fashioned couple. It's like, You come home to your sweetheart, to your darling, and you say every good thing about your day. And by the end, you feel so good about yourself that you start to become more attractive to your partner, because you are more attractive than you are more attracted to your partner. Then because there is love, because there is the attraction, then that builds. And all of a sudden you're just all over each other. It's the same thing. You can do that with yourself, that you are so fucking proud of yourself today that I just feel fuckable, or I want to fuck the entire world.
Okay, so I've got two things on what you said. I want to ask you. You know, you said when you go solo and you touch yourself solo.
Yeah.
Why is there sometimes I feel like there can also sometimes be a resistance that you don't want to touch yourself. You don't. You know, you can feel that your body. Like I call it, you know. My pussy has a lot to say to me.
Yeah.
Like sometimes she's in a bad mood, sometimes she's in a good mood. And sometimes she's like, she wants to be touched and she wants me to do something. But I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? I'm like, what is that? Like, I don't know if it's like upper limiting self-sabotage, or if it's like denying myself pleasure. Like, and I hope I'm not the only one. People who are listening.
Oh, no.
Like, people are like, you know, going, yes, like me too. Because otherwise I'm like, or by myself out here, hanging up dry.
But, me too.
Okay, you have that too? Okay.
Yeah.
So for me, I interpret this as, it's because that's what I need to be doing for my soul. Like, I need to do it because there's some pleasure that there's a part of me I need to own and to touch and to attain. And I think is that it almost like circles it back into this concept of upper limit by Gay Hendricks. He wrote a book on this called The Big Leap. And I wonder if it's a bit like, you know, there's only a quota of pleasure we allow ourselves to have, whether it's love and sex. But so let's say with sex and pleasure, it's like we self-sabotage, you know, by not doing it, refusing ourselves stuff, you know. I wonder if it's a bit of that.
Yeah, it's, I believe it's your sense of self-worth that if you believe that, and that's unfortunately coming from your conditioning, your parental figures, your home life or family life. And, you know, there's nobody to blame. I'm sure that everybody was doing their absolute best, but children are very, very sensitive. And so the slightest thing can make you feel like you are not worthy of love, attention, care.
See, I don't know, because it's like the masturbation was not an issue. Like, you know, I mean, I grew up with a Danish mom, so in Denmark, like, you know, it's like even my grandma was not like, you know, I mean, because I got caught a few times.
Me too.
And then, you know, and then when I went on, like, nothing, there was no, it was not a thing. I was just like, you know, like when I was like really little. Okay. And then it's just like, it just was what it was. And I don't know, maybe that's part of like the shame that I feel as a grown up. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, you know. I don't know if that's maybe, it's almost like the reverse. It's not because it was shamed in any way, but it was almost maybe because, oh, they saw that part of me, you know. Yeah, and again, it was not graphic. I had clothes when I was a kid, you know what I'm saying? But it's like they knew what was going. It's, you know, looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't know what I was doing was even sexual. Like, I didn't even know. I just thought it was so normal. And then it was never brought up. But as an adult, I'm like, this is gonna sound weird. I don't know if I should cut this out. But basically, I was just, you know, I was doing my thing and I thought it was fine, and that's what it is. But it's just like, so I know it wasn't because it was drilled in me that this was wrong or bad. So I don't know where this is coming from.
Not just necessarily around sexuality. I was caught masturbating as a child, but, you know, I never felt ashamed around masturbation or sexuality. But I did feel that my parents don't want to spend time with me. So I got used to I'm not worthy to for someone's attention, time. So I don't spend time with myself. I don't listen to myself. I just want to rush everything. And then my body just goes, well, fuck you. You know, because there's a resistance that, okay, that's all I'm worth. That's all I'm worth to you. That's all my value. You don't respect me. You don't have trust. then you start believing those things about yourself. You start embodying those characteristics that I'm worthless, I'm nobody, I'm a loser, I'm fearful, I'm this and that.
Yeah, so it's not so linear. It's not like, oh, they shamed you when you were masturbating.
Yeah.
It could be completely, it was totally normal and healthy, which is what I think it should be anyway, in all households. I'm not going to tell people how to parent. But I guess just, I'm glad that this was like not like a thing. But weirdly enough, funny enough, like in my family, like if there's like a sex scene of people kissing, it's like, they're like, oh, you know, like, you, and now I'm really embarrassed to watch it because I know how they feel about it. And it's like, it's only a kissing, it's fine, like, it's fine. But like there's this real, real embarrassing feeling, which I know, I'm sure a lot of people feel the same when they're watching things with their parents and all of a sudden, or family or whatever, they're like, oh my God, there's this sex scene coming up. This is so embarrassing. Yeah, I don't know. So maybe there is a bit of that.
And you know, all that, your body feels all that. We really shouldn't be ashamed or afraid or stuck on sex, because that's how you came into this being. Your parents Absolutely. Had sex.
Yeah, and I don't want to think about that either.
Well, but then we wouldn't be here anyway.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. That's true. But how do you, you know, you mentioned the thing about the loser feeling, which, you know, I'm sure many of us feel that to some extent every once in a while. Now, this may not be you know, sexual, it's not really like a sexual question related or something like that. But like how, you know, sometimes I do feel like a loser personally, like, and I certainly especially feel like a loser in intimate relationships when the person starts to see me more and they're not seeing me in my brightest light. You know, it's like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm not, you know, I don't always have my shit together. I'm not perfect. You know, there's lots of things I need to figure out. And them seeing that makes me, you know, feel ashamed, feel like a loser. And it does have an impact, obviously, on the relationship. Because I think we are responsible for our own emotional well-being. I think that when you are in a partnership, though, we can help to heal each other. You just have to be willing to be there. And so, but take ownership, like not blame the other person. But it is a really hard road to navigate. And I don't know, like, how, is there any advice you have for when we feel like we're just, you know, we feel like losers and it's like, you know, we, you know, yeah. How is there anything that you can say about that?
Yeah, I mean, for a very long time, I was suicidal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I never really thought that I would actually do something because I knew that that's not going to take me where I want to go. I just felt stuck. I felt so miserable. I felt like I'm not capable of existing in this world. I was just too sensitive to everything. And I'm just like, I don't have it. I haven't got what it takes to be alive on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And
living is hard sometimes. That's
exactly.
Hard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was such a vulnerable process. It was a slow process for me because I did it completely by myself. You don't have to. You really can reach out for help, especially in a partnership. If you become vulnerable about these things, your partner appreciates your honesty so much. They would do anything in their power to help you. And for me, it was a very delicate process that sometimes while I was crying, sobbing, I was literally looking at myself in the mirror, just petting myself like an animal, that it's okay. That's okay, honey. That's going to be fine. You're scared now, or you're sad now. That's okay. That's all right. And literally I was talking to myself like a child or an animal. You know, whatever you need, whatever makes you feel comfortable, we have to learn to parent ourselves. There is a child in you who probably got hurt. There is a person in you who got abandoned or neglected or abused at some point, all of us. We have to learn self-love before we employ somebody else to love us, because we've never learned how to do that for ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. It's also too much of a burden for someone else to do that.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not their job.
Yeah, it's interesting because to me, like when I hit like a low point in the autumn, and what I did was, at the time I was seeing someone, We're not anymore. Yeah. That was it. And what I did was I decided to go home for 3 weeks because I knew, one, I had to sort myself out. I never expected for anyone else to do it for me. But also because I also feel it hard to really reach out and say how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
But and I'm glad I did. It was the right thing to do. I think he probably perceived it as me abandoning him or me trying to leave. Whatever. I'm not in his head. I can't say what he felt. But anyway, he ended it. But it's like, so it was a double whammy. I went home because I had to sort myself out big time. I felt in the gutter. And then I was like obviously missing him so much and, you know, heartbroken over this. So, but, you know, it's, and I thought I would never find myself. I was like, how am I ever going to feel confident again? How am I ever going to? But I knew, like, I had to go and just sort myself out. And it really can't put it on someone else. And I think, but I do believe that you can still go through it together. Like, if you let that person, let's say if it's, you know, reversed and the person you're seeing is hitting a low point, let them do their healing. Be there. You don't enable them. Don't do the work for them. Don't do any of that. Don't try and fix them. Just be there. But I think it only works if the person takes responsibility and say, I'm in a shit place. I need to work on it. I need to get help. But, you know, just please be patient. Like, I'll be back. Just give me that time. I mean, maybe I'm looking at it completely wrong. I don't know. But that's how I feel about it.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, I'm structuring my life quite differently. So I haven't been in a relationship in a very long time now. But I, when I went through, and even last year, I had low, low, low periods. And what added to my struggle is that I thought that I have to do it by myself. I was ashamed of feeling bad, feeling low, and I didn't want to reach out. And as soon as I just called a friend and they didn't do anything, they didn't help anything, they just listened.
Yeah.
That release, that emotional release, that I don't have to be alone with my problems, especially when you speak them out loud, they don't seem such big problems anymore. You know, your emotional chaotic world all of a sudden gets this linear structure of language and you're like, wow, okay, this is how it looks from the outside. Maybe I'm just feeling too much pity for myself. Maybe I'm pushing myself back into the victim position instead of trying to actually help myself.
Yeah.
Am I doing the best for myself or am I just torturing myself?
Yeah. And I think because it also gives a chance for people to actually come and, like, you know, just to be there, to be to be able to listen to you. But also, interestingly enough, like, and maybe it's no coincidence, obviously, for most people, you know, there has been a lot of isolation last year. You know, a lot of things happened to a lot of people. You know, I noticed that I had a few friends, they were reaching out around that same time and they were going through a really hard time themselves. And and some of them, you know, are married, have their business or have a side hustle or have a good job. Like, no one is really sort of like sheltered from it, but it was kind of interesting to see, oh my God, that's exactly how I'm feeling. Yeah, that's how I'm feeling too.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it really helps because, like what Brené Brown says in her TED talk, I don't know if you know her, but shame cannot exist when you speak it out. Unless, let's say if I was to say it to a friend and she went, oh my God, you're disgusting, or I can't believe you're such a loser. That would be different and you probably will feel worse. But fuck that person, fuck that bitch. But, you know, it's like, you know, most people have got some sort of empathy.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that with me and for listening to me.
So the
thing I wanted to go to is, you know, because when we started off the recording, you mentioned about energetic orgasm and blah, 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 blah. So I want to now go in. Let's, you know, I think we spoke about the settings, context and love and all of that. So now let's go into, like, you know, the practicalities, like the, you know, the graphic stuff. So there are different types of orgasms and maybe you don't know if you can add to it and then we'll go into what they are about. But, you know, there's obviously like the clitoral, like, orgasm, which I think a lot of people always, that's usually like, for a lot of people, that's the entrance, you know, the clitoris. You have anal, you have G-spot, where the squirting can come from. You have A-spot, you have the cervix. And then there's obviously energetic. And then, of course, on top of that, there is people who can orgasm through kissing, nipple touch, toes, you name it. Can we talk about the squirting?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a question around that. Is squirting meant to be pleasurable?
For me, it is.
Is it?
Yeah, it's so physically what I experience through squirting is that it feels a little bit like you're peeing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
In the beginning, I was like, oh, did I just pee? What just happened?
Yeah.
And even that sensation in the beginning, like you're like, you don't want to push it out because you're, you know, that's embarrassing to pee in the middle of something. But it's similar, like for males, that they cannot pee and ejaculate at the same time. They are coming from different sources. You know, your bladder doesn't produce the juices that are coming out when you are squirting. So they're coming from two different places. So you cannot do the two things at the same time. So for me, it's that moment of realization that, oh, okay, that sensation is coming, like I'm about to pee. And I don't hold it back. It's almost like you just allow yourself to, you allow yourself to pee. And then the sensation that washes through your body, for me, it's a very emotional sensation. It's it's an emotional release.
Okay. So for me, I have no emotions with it. For me, this is very different.
Yeah,
you know, some people, they have to relax into it. I have to, like, I get to this point where there's so much tension built up, I have to push it. I have to slightly push it, not like as if I'm about to do number two, but just like push a little bit, and then it's like, you know, hello, where the fuck this is coming from. But it feels a little bit like a circus act, and I don't know, like, for me, I don't have, like, I know the man thinks like, oh, that's it, she's had a great time, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm not sure how I'm feeling about this. It's just like, it's just weird to me. It's like, I know it's natural. I don't feel ashamed about it. I kind of feel it's funny that I'm squirting all over his mattress, you know, good luck to him. But, you know, it's like, you know, that's what we
have. My partner used to grab my partner used to grab a towel. Like as soon as we started, he was like, yeah, towel, all right.
Yes. You have to have a towel, yeah. And it's really funny if squirts on his face. I mean, it's a bit like a revenge back, and then all the porn industry is like, yeah, well, I can come on your face too. But you know, but it is just water, really. It's high versus water. Yeah. And so, but the thing is like, I mean, I had a partner say to me, like, you know, maybe you just need to embrace it. And I'm like, maybe I do. but I think I feel like this disengagement from it, because I feel like it's almost more for him than it is for me. Like for him to see it's happening, because they get so much satisfaction from it. They're like, oh my God, I made her squirt. And it's pretty newish to me. I mean, I had this experience once many, many years ago when I had like a yoni massage from like a professional. And it's not a sex worker, you know, people are going to be like, oh, what is this? It's someone who, you know, it's a very, you can get it done wrong. I had it done wrong. You can get it done very well. This guy really knew what he was doing. You know, I knew his partner. This is not, there was nothing sexual about it. It was anything but sexual, to be quite honest. some people have orgasm when they have, I just didn't. But like, it was the first time I experienced it. I didn't even realize it was happening until he was like, after I was like, yeah, there's like three towels there on the side. I was like, oh, fucking hell. And I was so dehydrated as well. I was so dehydrated. But so I've never really aligned it with pleasure. For me, it's just been like, yeah, so because the first time to get there was kind of like, there was a lot of discomfort physically. And I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm doing it wrong, but I think maybe I would love to get there with a bit more softness. I think you can get there with more softness, but I think guys get so eager, they're like, but I don't know. I don't have this thing that when I squirt is like, oh my God, it's emotional. I'm like, oh, here's a circus trick. That's literally what I see it like. What's wrong with me?
Then it could be just simply a definition in your mind that that's how you define it. So that's your experience of it. Because for me, it was like the first time someone put their finger up my butthole, I was so shocked. I'm like, wow. But then the next thing that I felt was so much trust that I just realized what he just did, that, wow, somebody actually wants to enjoy my body. Yeah. And it's something similar with squirting for me, that they want to pleasure me, or I want to pleasure myself in a very specific way that he cannot have. This is mine. So it's something special. It's something curious and exciting and fun, but it's also something very, very unique. So it's the same way as like if you have a nipple orgasm, or a specific spot of your body is just very, very sensitive, like my neck or my back is extremely sensitive. So it's like when you find that thing that only your body can do, then you can feel real pride that, wow, it's like this body is really awesome. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it is awesome. I mean, it is like quite awesome that I go, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that.
Yeah.
And to be fair on the partner, it was like, I mean, he put in a lot of work into it for me to have it. Like, it took us like a few months for me to get it. He was like, that was like his goal. And he got it. And it was like, I mean, you know, maybe I resented giving it to him. I don't know. But he was real proud. I mean, he should be, because he was the first partner apart from like the professional many years ago.
Yeah.
I didn't tell him that. But
but you know, maybe
you know,
if
he
you
does not listen to this, so it's fine. But,
good.
But honestly, I was quite impressed that he did. I was like, which is a bit of a shame is why they ended, because I'm like, I'm sure we could have gone like done so much more. But like, you know, it does. I mean, you know, you do. Your partner also has to be willing to do work and be patient, because there was a lot of like, you know, times I'm sure he was very dissatisfied that he couldn't get me to do that. so you know, but he kept at it, and it got results. And I'm quite glad that I can do it now. I'm like excited. Like, I know how it feels like. I know what to do also in my body for it to happen. So it's kind of a nice thing. But yeah, I guess it's probably is like maybe my how I see it in my mind. And maybe because it's so new, really, for me, it feels new, even though it's happened before, but I've never really accustomed it to pleasure. So there's also something that I feel that is never mentioned, but I learned in when I went to tantric yoga school, is the A spot, which is near the cervix, but it's just, I think it's, is it above, a bit like above it, or like almost like northwest of the cervix? If it was to look, if I was to look at a woman's cervix, it'll be to the northwest of it, or northeast. It's like, it's not completely above it, it's like a bit on the side of it, isn't it?
I mean, I think that's where it's like bodies differ so much. Like for me, it's only one side of my clitoris. Like there's just one very little spot in my clitoris that's super, super sensitive. So it's the same thing around my cervix that I feel around. It's like this side feels better or that side feels better, but it is around your cervix. Yeah. And it's a very different experience. It's like deep rumbling sensation. You don't expect that explosive experience. It's like your body just starts to vibrate from the inside. Oh, it feels good.
Yes, isn't it? You have to really go deeper to get those what I call orgasm. You have to have those real, those waves and those really intense that you need to relax, because if you're not, if you're tense, it actually can be quite sensitive and sore to touch those areas, right? They can be quite sensitive. You know, if women are like, oh my God, I don't even know that I like this. I don't like when my partner goes in too deep or too hard. Like, I was the same for the longest time. And then I got this wand, which is basically like a dildo, but it's called like, it's a wand and it's made of obsidian. You can get them done in jade. So get it from like a reputable source that does, that has like, you know, it's a proper gemstone or whatever, you know. They're not expensive. Yeah. No, I think it's, you know, it's not expensive. Anyway. And you basically do your own massage, because I'm like, my hands are too small. I don't know if they're too small, but it's really awkward to get in there anyway. Like, it's just like, I don't even have to do with size. It's just like, it's just really awkward to get in with your hand on yourself. It's like, I'm going to break my wrist with turning it. So you get the wand, and also you have the advantage of the energetic quality of the wand. So have a relationship with the wand, you know, put it like... In a sunny spot during the day, and then let it be bathed by the moon at night. Have a relationship with it, like it's a living thing. But to massage yourself, and where it is a bit sore, just gently massage it really gently, and over time it won't feel sore. It'll start to feel pleasure, and yeah. and then when you have sex with a partner, it'll feel different. You actually mm-hmm. want him to do it differently.
Yeah.
So really, like, just to learn to massage with a one, I definitely recommend that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you eventually masturbate with it proper. It's fun. But yeah, definitely, it's great. And it's great for your muscles. It's great for, there's so much benefits of using a wand, I feel.
Yeah, it's a little bit like learning a new skill that it expands who you are, and you cannot go backwards. So just start experimenting with all your body parts. Start actually getting to know who you are, what this body is. And, you know, don't shove anything and everything up there, but have a little feel. How does this feel? How does that feel? If I touch here, if I touch that way, if I touch with a different tool, if it's a different sensation, if it's hot, if it's cold, if it's slippery, if it's not, just what's the difference, so that you would get a feel for it, how your body reacts to certain things. You might not like everything, but at least you tried. You don't have to push for anything. Please don't abuse your body. No. But have a playful experimentation that you've never tried this before. Let's see.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's about having fun, you know. Pleasure is supposed to be fun. So I have fun getting there. and then there's obviously like the cervical orgasm, which, you know, is not for everyone. That's why, like, I think, like, you know, if it's sore, just gently have a wand. Or if you have your partner who's really patient and he can actually, you know, gently make love to you, that's even better. That's great. Like, because you have his energy coming into it. But if you can do it yourself with a wand. But yeah, this just the cervical orgasms. Do you have an opinion on that?
I mean, if you can just in a heterosexual relationship, or find a version of it or an alternative of it in a homosexual relationship, if you can just sit on your partner very, very patiently and then start moving your own muscles, your internal muscles. You don't move, you don't shake.
Oh, so you mean like, you're straddling, you mean like you have...
Exactly.
You have either like a strap on inside of you, or you have like your, a penis owner.
you have a penis owner.
You're a penis owner with his penis in, with that penis inside of you, right? And then you're on top of them. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Because
when
you say sit on your partner, I know I've got some women in the listeners are going to be like, you mean sit on his face? Or what you like, so is it like, yeah, okay, so penis inside, and then...
Yes, penis inside, yes.
Sorry, I interrupted you, but like...
you're very right about it. Penis inside. So you have your penis owner. Well, yeah. I fucking love it. And you don't have to move your body. You don't have to bounce up and down. You don't have to be cowgirl. Just sit there for a while. And the similar way as you would do Kegel exercises, or like with Kegel, or however you want to call it, with muscle exercises, you can experiment with it, that those are very complex muscles. You can move only one side of your vagina. You can move the back. You can move the front. They feel very differently. So those are very, very tiny movements. But when you are literally moving around a penis, then it's a very different sensation. Like, you can feel pressure differently. You can pace yourself differently. And also you can feel a lot more in control. So if, you know, if your partner is willing to try, and if he really wants to experience his pleasure differently as well, and wants to build a different sensation in his penis as well, then just try to be really, really patient. You don't have to do anything. You just sit there, honey, and feel how my pussy feels on your dick when it's just contracting or moving just ever so slightly. What's the difference? How does that feel? Because it feels awesome.
Oh, no, that sounds amazing. Plus, it also ticks another box. I'm so lazy anyway. So that's why I like to say that, yes, surely I'm a sub, I'm just lazy. And so, yeah, if it means I can just, it sounds really erotic though. I love it. Like, just being, that sounds like delectable. And it's like, I can imagine like you just completely have an amazing experience, like, and maybe even like orgasm that way, just by just being still. That's the thing also, like with sex, where it's like, sometimes just going slow, like when the guy goes slow, it's like, oh my God. And then you can like, you know, vary it with different speeds. But going slow also requires a lot of like trust, I feel. I think it's a trusting thing because they see in the movies this like bang, 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 bang. It's like, no, we don't, no, no. Yeah. It almost desensitizes you. It's like, yeah, you feel like you're going hard and you think I'm going to feel you more. But actually, I'm starting to cut off. I'm desensitizing now, you know. It's like... That's what can happen, you know, like you just numb them out.
Yeah, exactly.
Your pussy gets really pissed off. He's like, fuck this shit off. I'm not feeling it.
It's like, why do they shoot, why do they film battle sequences in slow motion? Because you get to see the action. If everybody was just shooting at each other and bullets are flying all over the place and it's hard and fast and cut this way, blah, 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 you lose the plot, you lose track. When everything is in slow motion, you get to experience motion, movement, color, sound. Just time slows down and every little thing is more intense.
Yeah. I love this. This is so true. It's so true. Think about that. This is where like your film background comes in. Can you explain to us what the energetic orgasm is for those who haven't heard about it?
The first time that it happened for me, it was a completely out of body experience. I was just dancing, and when I dance, I don't usually dance in front of other people because I get a lot of unwanted sexual attention. But when I dance, I literally feel like I'm having sex. So I was dancing. I was really enjoying the music, and at some point, I just started to feel like, whoa, this actually feels really good. Whoa, this is feeling really, really, really fucking good. And I just went with the feeling. And it's because you are not touching yourself, it's very different from any strokes, any clitoral orgasms, any vaginal orgasms. It's nothing like that. It's more like your body is building up energy, but it doesn't have a quick release. So it's almost like it just keeps circling in your body, just keeps getting stronger, stronger, stronger. And for me, they can last for minutes easily. My body just keeps shaking for minutes. but that's just me. That might just be me. And it has a lot to do with how you are an electromagnetic being. Your body communicates with this, your cells communicate with each other with electricity. So electricity can be sparked not just by touch, but by energy, by your thoughts. If you keep focusing on one body part, if you focus on your finger, you start feeling sensations in your finger. If you keep focusing on one specific body part, after a while, it starts getting warmer. You start feeling different sensations. Now, when you get a bit more familiar with how it feels when you move energy in your body, and it literally is just that, it's your attention, what body part you pay attention to. And when you start very quickly moving your attention in your body and moving energy in your body, then it can feel very, very orgasmic. And then you can start playing around with it, that it's not just the genital area. You start shifting energy to different body parts and you still get that pulsing orgasmic sensation when for minutes your body just takes over and it just moves almost involuntarily. And it, you know, it's not like you're possessed. Nobody is entering your body. Nobody is having astral sex with you. None of that. It's just that your body is firing electricity internally, and it's a very emotional experience as well, because it's a little bit like a circus trick, but your body is doing something so special, so precious, that it's a very moving experience to be like, I haven't done anything. I didn't touch anything. And this body is experiencing intense pleasure. So that's when you're like, okay, now this body is finally paying me back. You know?
Yeah.
Most of, the, mo- Most of the times you're exhausted, you hate your life, you hate your body, you just keep drinking coffee after coffee, you keep taking drugs, you keep numbing yourself with alcohol, all that business. And finally, this body is giving me a payback and it's giving me so much pleasure.
From like, what, cutting off coffee and alcohol and things like that?
Well, once your body starts to feel more intense sensations, I started developing a more tender relationship with it. I started taking better care of it. I really shouldn't be abusing you. You are a conscious being. You just don't have words, and I have words and I'm louder than you. So my mind can just go, shut up. Just, I don't care that you're tired. I don't care that you don't want to go to bed. You're going to stay up late and work. You're going to stay in bed and not work, whichever way. You just keep pushing your body, even when your body says, I've had enough or I don't want to do this. Yeah. Now, when your body starts giving you very deep orgasmic experiences, I started to look at it as my friend, that how can I take good care of you? If I exhaust you beyond the point of unbearable pain, you're not going to give me any pleasure. I'm just going to get more frustrated. How can we have a good, healthy relationship? So I give you comfort, peace, warmth, food, water, everything that you need. And then you can experience the absolute best pleasure.
Do you know, I love that you said that your body is a conscious being, just doesn't have words. I love that. Yeah. I didn't think about that way. I love it. One thing, you know, like I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Let me just get my question here. Okay. So, when people say they orgasm 10 to 20 times during sex, is it really an orgasm, or is it just like mini ones, like coming, like we said, like, you know, this explosive clitoral one, or am I just hating on them because I'm envious of them?
I mean, I had both ends. So, you know, when I was, again, I started very early. So when I was a child, when a teenager, say, I had those experiments. It's like, how many can I squeeze in? And it was literally just coming.
Yeah. So this explosive, no joy.
Exactly. I mean, you know, there is, yes, there is a massive release. It's not a happiness, pleasure experience. It's one of those, it's friction and a release of energy. And by the end, you get really, really sore. So yes, there is that version. And now I'm like, well, now it's a bit more for me because it's so entangled with energetics. Now I cannot really count because I cannot really differentiate. It's like the entire experience is just one orgasmic experience. Sometimes it has higher points, lower points, but I enjoy the entire experience. Yeah. So now I don't go by 1, 2, 3. It's like, why would you count? Like, why would you be up in your head?
I know, it's weird. Well, I'm like, do you have like a notepad next to you?
Yeah.
I mean, good for you. Like, I'm like, well, it is. I was 20, I was like, fucking hell. And it's like, it doesn't matter which partner it is. It's like, it's funny because I feel like almost you, they don't even count. It feels like, because she's like, it doesn't matter who she's with, she has like 10 to 20 orgasms. I'm like, how is that even possible?
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm obviously being a bitch. But is it possible to like implosive orgasm, like the goes through the body and this really like amazing feeling, like 10 to 20 times with a partner every single time?
If somebody can with a partner every single time, very, very good for them. I think that would be really tiring for me. You're like a cat on a sun. You're like, you're just enjoying it. Just give me a second. This feels good now.
Yeah.
Because your body is getting pushed with chemicals. You are swimming in oxytocin, serotonin, and you can overdo those chemicals. It can become addictive. So I would say when you keep chasing the next dope, you just keep pushing more and more chemicals into your body, then it can just be like an addiction that you just need the next hit and the next hit and the next hit, and you don't even enjoy it anymore.
Yeah. I think I understand that. I mean, I say I think because I haven't had those 10, 20 a night. So I'm like, I can't exactly relate. So I guess like I have two questions I want to ask. Actually, the first one you've actually answered, which is like, you know, you love the guy, you're attracted to him. The desire is there. The lust is there, but you can't get off with him. Why is that? And I guess like we've actually covered some of, you know, actually a lot of it, like, you know, with the expectations and the listening to the body and not rushing and.
Yeah,
the difference is. So we go to the next. Oh, go on.
I think when you, I had to be very, very honest with myself that when you secretly hate yourself, despise yourself, think that you're ugly, too fat, not worthy enough, you might have a good face on. You might say nice things to other people about yourself. You might sell yourself as somebody confident, happy, blah, blah, blah. You might even try to convince yourself that, yeah, I have a good life. I don't have any reasons to be feeling shitty about myself. But secretly, do you actually love yourself? Do you actually feel love for yourself? Or you're just forcing yourself to be happy with what you've got? Because I thought that this body that I'm living in was so ugly. Nobody could ever convince me that I'm beautiful because I didn't get those messages. I didn't get that I'm ugly. I thought that I'm ugly because nobody has ever told me that I'm beautiful. So I just thought that automatically then it means that I must be ugly. And it took me a very, very long time to come to terms with it, that I actually see my beauty, that I actually believe that I'm beautiful. And until then, no amount of compliments is going to give you that feeling. No amount of pleasure is going to give you that feeling. And you feel more and more disconnected from your body. If you feel like you are too fat, too this, too that, too skinny, whatever, little boobs, too many, too much.
But so, sometimes it's not even the size or especially sometimes it's like what your face represents to you.
Yeah.
That has been a struggle for me for a very, very long time for many different reasons that I'm not, you know, that I actually even haven't mentioned on this podcast because it's way too personal and involves other people. So, but it really is like sometimes it's like, you know what it is that it's representing, what it makes you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
But then it's almost like you forget that's that. And what you see is like, sometimes I can look at myself and I'm like, I really enjoy what I'm seeing. And I know that. But from people's reaction, I know that I'm not ugly. Like, you know, and I know it sounds okay, it comes across. But it doesn't mean I don't feel it.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes I feel amazing. I feel really sexy. And especially maybe like a certain time of the month, like the hormones are on point and I'm like, I'm feeling real good. But sometimes like the next day I look in the mirror and I'm like, I can never put myself on video. And that's why actually I don't put out videos as much as I actually really want to do. I don't actually put videos because sometimes I look at it and I'm like, no, I'm seeing that thing that I don't want out there. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah.
So it's so subtle. It's so, and your perception can change from one day to another, from like feeling amazing to not. So it really is an inside work.
I always knew that I'm sexy because that's just the attitude. That's just how you carry yourself in the world, whether you're confident, whether you're a bit flirtatious, all that business. And that came very easily to me. But no amount of sexiness could ever convince me that I'm beautiful. Mm. And that for a woman is incredibly important.
Yeah. And have also a partner or people around you that make you, that almost help you enhance that bit. You know, I think someone who, not that it's supposed to be depending on them for external validation, because obviously that's dangerous because you disempowering yourself. But if you are in a place where you're aware of this and you want to give yourself more love and you know you're beautiful, to be around someone else who sort of reflects that for you is an amazing feeling as a woman. And the same as like when I'm with a partner, I want him to feel sexy. I want him to feel good looking. I want him to know that I'm really attracted to him. I think it's fun that other women are attracted to him. I want him to go out when he goes out on his own. And you know, and I had that with my last relationship, like, you know, goes out on his own with the boys. Like, I want him to know that he's hot. Like, I'm expecting women to find him hot. Like, not all, because we all have different tastes. But like, to me, that's, and it's also like part of like also foreplay almost. Like to know that, you know, that he's attractive to others. But I really, for me, like when I am with someone, and because we all have insecurities, and and you know, men have insecurities, and for me, like, I take that as part of my job, that because I, what I see in you, I want you to see that. I wish you could see that, because sometimes, like, the same way that what they see in me, I don't see it for myself. Like, I want, that's my job, is to make, part of my job is to make him feel good, and like from the inside out, that regardless if I'm here or not, that he feels good, that he feels like a man, and he's handsome and he's hot. No, because I love the guy. So like, why would you not want to give that to someone? Like, it's beyond me, you know? It's like, so yeah, to be that inside work, but surround yourself with people who are not going to zap the energy, who are not going to make you question based on what you wear and how you weigh and all that shit.
Yeah. And both for males and females, it creates such a safe environment when you know that you don't have to question what your partner thinks about you, because they are expressing it, how much they think that you're sexy, you're hot, you're beautiful, you're pretty. It's sometimes it doesn't have to be verbal. If your love language is different, give gifts or, you know, do certain actions for each other, whatever, but express that you think that your partner is physically attractive and beautiful and desirable, because it makes them feel very, very safe to be more of themselves, to give more to you, to be more readily available.
And then they show up in the world, Mo, and they show up in the world, and they'll put those videos out into the world that they want to do. You know what I'm saying? So, whatever you need to do, whatever it is, go up for a promotion at work or bungee jumping, I don't know. But it's that safe place from home that helps you be out there and be daring and feel good about it. That's why who you surround yourself with is so important.
Exactly.
This is going to be an odd one, but why is it that you can't fall asleep like next to a man? Like, or it takes a long time, or it's really rare, or you have to really be really sexed out before you can fall asleep. Like, I find it, I mean, I've had insomnia, but I find it really difficult to sleep next to a partner. Or maybe, I don't know if it's all partners or if just because it takes time. Like, what is it when you can't fall asleep next to a man? Is it uneasiness, sexual frustration? Or is it because the room is not set up right? Because I'm like, I'm really light sensitive and noise sensitive at night. Like, why is it that you can't fall asleep next to your partner?
From my experience, and that's my personal experience, that was a relationship, when I couldn't sleep next to someone is because I felt so insecure. I felt like that they underappreciate me. I felt like that I'm not heard, I'm not listened to. You know, it was his apartment, his environment. He controlled everything. He wasn't a controlling person, but it felt like that he is in charge over me. And he wasn't explicit about it. He didn't push me to do anything, but he wasn't considerate about how do I like to sleep? What do I like to do? You know, we had very different needs in sleep. And it was quite the opposite. And when I pointed out that I'm so sorry, I cannot sleep in noise, could you just turn it down, like music, whatever? Because he was like, he needed to have some kind of noise to fall asleep to. I was the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And I felt like I cannot ask for what I want because it's his world, his environment. And it can exist on so many levels. Like if you're a light sleeper, or if one side of the bed feels more comfortable than the other, like stupid little shit like that.
Yeah.
Or if you fall, or if you cuddle, but then you cannot sleep cuddling. That's the biggest lie in the world. You cannot sleep comfortably next to another person's body heat and arm around you for 8 hours. That never happens.
You can or you cannot sleep comfortably?
You cannot. I cannot. I definitely cannot.
I have managed, but I guess it depends, right? It's like, is the setting right? Because you're right. When you're in another environment, you're not in control of it. And And also it's not found upon it, because if you're not expressing it, they can't help you.
Yeah.
So it really is about ownership, isn't it? You just got to say, listen, just can you just put that phone outside of the room? I can literally see that little light. Like if it's charging, oh my God, take it off the charger. And I know some people are going to hear, they're like, this is crazy. I'm like, I know, but I'm just really light and noise sensitive. But at the same time, I know part of it is a little bit BS, because if I am really, really exhausted, I will fall asleep after having had coffee, chocolate, and it's like 2 p.m. If I'm really tired, I will go for a nap and I'll sleep for 3 hours. So I'm like, what's happening? So
but that's a different quality sleep. It's like you are so exhausted that your body just goes, no, shut down, collapse right now. Normal sleep should be comfortable. That should be the most relaxing environment, and different things relax different people. Some people love music, some people love silence.
So Alex, thank you so much. This has been so interesting. And
thank you.
Really, really thank you. And you know, I know we could be talking for hours. There's so much to cover. But we're just going to round it up here for this time around. And I want to ask you the same two questions I ask all of my guests. And the first one is, what would you tell your 18-year-old self?
Please really get to know yourself before you expect anybody else to know you better. I was absolutely fascinated by the idea that people should read my mind, that they should know exactly what I want, when I didn't know what I want. And I went into relationships that were not helpful, not healthy, not good for me. So please get to know yourself.
Yeah. I love that. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. People can't mind read. You can know yourself and then express yourself. So the second one is, what stuff do you not put up with anymore?
Neediness.
From
both sides. I had very, very needy partners. So now I recognize neediness in myself as well. But when somebody comes from a sense of, I haven't had a girlfriend for such a long time, I haven't had sex for such a long time, or I'm so lonely, or I miss this, I miss that, I never learned how to love myself, or my parents never loved me, you know, they don't have to say it out loud. If that's how they feel, that's how they carry themselves in the world. So when they come from a sense of lack, scarcity, need, they are bound to have toxic relationships.
This is great. So can you please tell us, Alex, tell us where people can find you, how can people work with you, if you're available online, give us all the good stuff.
So right now I only work online because I live in Ibiza, so I'm not expecting anybody to come to Ibiza. And my business is called Master of Story, as in you are mastering your own story. So my website is called masterofstory.net. And I am existing on YouTube. I exist on Instagram. Once you go on my website, you can find any social media websites. And what I'm doing right now, what I'm super, super excited about, is that I'm hosting a 12-step online program on sexual transmutation on the orgasmic energy. We are deep diving into any and every area of sexuality that I can think of. And it's 12 steps all together. You can catch it later, you can catch it live, you can catch one of them, you can catch the entire program, whichever feels good to you. There's just absolute nuggets, gold nuggets to munch on.
Perfect. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Alex. This has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much. And I hope you'll come back on the show.
Definitely. I have to. I would love to talk more about the energetic side of sexuality and energy practices. And it's a massive, massive topic to dive into. But I loved every second of this conversation.
Thank you so much. Well, same. So absolute pleasure. And I learned some stuff. So I'm really excited. So thank you so much, Alex. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
And that's our episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Please don't forget to rate, review, share it, subscribe it on iTunes, follow it on Spotify or whichever platform you listen from. However you show love is how you can support this show. Drop me your questions or suggestions for future episodes via the website at angie-s.com or come and find me on Instagram at Tool for Dish It Podcast. See you next week. And until then,
using health inappropriately.